Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Well, if you have your Bibles, you might want to turn to Matthew's Gospel, the 14th chapter. Alan read part of it to you. Charles Weigel wrote a song many, many, many years ago as a result of a struggle that was going on in his life. As a matter of fact, he was an itinerant evangelist. And as he was out on the road, his wife wrote him a letter and said, "I do not want to be an evangelist's wife anymore." And she left him. He went into a time of deep sorrow and depression, questioning his ministry, questioning his faith, putting everything on the line. As the Lord began to deal with his heart, as so many of these itinerant evangelists in that day, he was also a songwriter. And he penned the words to a song that is in your hymn book that spoke to what he went through in his life. He said, "I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus. Since I found in him a friend so strong and true, I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms around me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love. But I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me." Praise his name. This study that we're looking at this morning could take on many different titles and many different portions, but the Holy Spirit illuminated to my heart a reality, a truth, out of our passage of Scripture this morning that simply says this: Jesus cares about you. He does. He cares about what you're going through right now, here, today. He cares about you. Now, the passage that was read earlier by Alan, I'm going to pick it up and read it one more time to just put it into your hearts. And you're going to immediately go, "Whoa, I don't see it. Here's John the Baptist dying, being beheaded by Herod." Then we will go into verse number 13 where it says that Jesus feeds the 5,000. But stay with me for just a few moments and I think you will see what the Holy Spirit illuminated to me. Begin at verse number 1. "At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the reports about Jesus, and he said to his attendants, "This is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead. That's why miraculous powers are at work in him." Now Herod had arrested John and bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. For John had been saying to him, "It is not lawful for you to have her." Herod wanted to kill John, but he was afraid of the people because they considered John a prophet. On Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for the guests and pleased Herod so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Prompted by her mother, she said, "Give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist." The king was distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he ordered that her request be granted and had John beheaded in the prison. His head was brought in on a platter and given to the girl who carried it to her mother. John's disciples came and took his body and buried it, and then they went and told Jesus. Verse 13. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. And when Jesus landed and saw the large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came and said, "This is a remote place and it is already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me." And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. And then he gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left, and the number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning once again for your word. I pray for a covering of your spirit over our passage today. May we find clarity, but may we also find comfort. I cannot help but believe that your Holy Spirit has given this direction to me today because you're wanting to speak into a life or lives in this room today. Help us, O Lord, to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. This attribute of Jesus, of his care, is painted throughout the Gospels in beautiful colors. We often overlook it because we look beyond just little words that have such a valuable place in the narrative, but we overlook them and go to the miracle, or we go to the main part of the scene and forget things like in the prodigal son, the fact that the father runs to the prodigal. These things are amazing, folks. They preach because they are so powerful in letting us see our God and our Lord and how much he cares for us. We will run right over passage that speak to his compassion and his love and go on to the next part, to the great miracle that he performs. But the fact is that the greatest measure is found in those little words. They're measures of hope for us on days where we're struggling. Maybe this is your day and you're struggling in your faith. You're struggling against things that have happened in your life. I want you to see here, Jesus cared about John the Baptist. Well, there's good evidence from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, that John the Baptist was a cousin of Jesus.
So he would have been a relative, but more than likely they didn't grow up together, didn't play together. It wasn't that kind of a situation. They were in different towns. They had different circles. It wasn't like today where you can hop in a car. Journeys of miles took hours, if not days. But they were still relatives. If you remember when Mary came in to John's mother, Elizabeth, the baby in her womb leaped and she was filled with the Holy Spirit. Part of our Christmas story. Jesus coming into the world had an impact upon John, but John's being in the world had an impact upon Jesus. He identifies him in Mark's gospel as being the one who would precede him. The Elijah, if you would. As a matter of fact, he proclaimed John to be the greatest born among women in chapter 11 of Matthew. Proclaimed him to be the last of the great prophets. Proclaimed John to be Elijah who would precede the coming of the Messiah. Those are pretty heady things. He had a very high opinion of John. But there was something deeper. There was something more. When he heard that John had been killed by Herod. In verse number 13, it says, when Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. This is one of those verses that speaks, you know, and we can pass over it so quickly, but when you stop and really think about it, when he heard that John had been beheaded, when he heard that John, the forerunner, the one who had been ordained of the Father to come and let the people know that he was the Messiah coming forth, when he learned that John had been beheaded, he wanted to get off by himself. He went alone. He went alone to a remote place. He went to grieve. I think sometimes, folks, that because we are believers, we think that we have to mete out grief. That is, that we have to hold back. Paul said we don't grieve as others do, but he didn't say we don't grieve. We have a truth in Jesus that says that the grief, the sorrow that comes through loss, whether that be of the death of a loved one or whether it be the loss of a relationship or the loss of things in our lives, when we grieve over those, we need to know we're standing where Jesus has stood. He grieved. Now, if there was anybody that knew about heaven, it would have been Jesus. If there was anybody that knew what awaited John in heaven, it would have been Jesus. So in other words, he could have transferred, if you will, if it was really possible, transferred his grief over to what was coming next. And he could have rejoiced. Well, thank you, Father. He's out of this world and he's in your presence. What could be better? But no. He gets in a boat and moves off to a solitary place to be alone. Forgive me for just a moment, but allow me to put something in that's not in the scripture, but you can think about it. I believe that there could have been very possibly some anger toward Herod. Jesus was a man, just like all of us men are men. And to know that for nothing, because see, when those disciples came, they would have told him this story, that Herod, just out of his foolishness, had ordered the head of John the Baptist to be cut off and put on a platter given to a girl to take it to her mother. How ridiculous. The loss of this prophet, this man of God, this servant of the Lord. You could not find a circumstance that would be more ridiculous than that. I say that because, you know, often we go, oh man, I just don't know whether God cares. I can't believe that this happened. This person was so good. Jesus said there was not a man born among women who was as great as John. And yet this happened to him. So I believe that there were moments in there that as a man, that our Lord Jesus had some thoughts concerning Herod. And it may have found its resolve in, there is a day of judgment coming. He will stand, imagine this, before me one day. You see, I have learned in one of these little, well, smallest passage in the New Testament teaches me about how much Jesus cares in grief. In John's Gospel, the picture painted when Lazarus is dead, Jesus at the tomb knows that he's going to call Lazarus forth. Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus, breaking forth from the tomb, still in grave clothes, comes forth. Jesus knew that that was his next action, but he stood there by his friend's grave, and it says Jesus wept. You know, I can't get the paradox. I can't get the... There's a struggle there. There is the struggle of humanity and the glory of the Spirit. And if you haven't come to the understanding yet, they are in enmity to one another. They are pushing against one another, our flesh against the Spirit. And it's not just outside here, folks. It's right in here. There is a battle raging. And it rages when we lose somebody that we love, when we have to say goodbye to them, and the pain hurts so deeply. And our spirit says it's not over yet. And our flesh says, but I'm hurting. I want you to know that our Savior experienced that. He experienced it firsthand, and he yielded to the grief even as he gloried in the future. He cares about your grief and my grief. Look at verse 14. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." I want you to see that Jesus cares for those that he ministered to. You say, well, the disciples were the ones that came. Jesus saw their need. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. He had compassion on them. Four times in Matthew's Gospel, he notes the compassion of Jesus in people's needs. In other words, it wasn't this holier than thou, separate from above, knowing that he was going to heal them. Between his healing the people, between him raising the dead, and him seeing or witnessing the need, in the middle of that was Jesus' reaction to it, was compassion. He felt, he experienced, he let the hurt, the pain, the need touch him. That's the reason why the Hebrew writer says he was touched, or he is touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Well, I don't know if the Lord even cares about what I'm going through. I can tell you today, by His Word, over and over and over again, He feels what you are feeling. He's not just set down a path by which you will be healed, by which you will be delivered, by which you will be in His presence, But in between where he knows that the answer is and where you are at right now, in that space in the middle, he feels what you're going through. When you're hurting, he's hurting. The solution of the disciples, send them away. Because what we have is insufficient. Okay? They saw the people, that the people had a need. But you remember when we talked about some weeks back of what mercy is. Mercy is not just pity on the need, but it is providing the resource necessary to meet the need. Jesus had mercy upon the people, and he has mercy upon us. He sees us in our need, but then also appropriates provision to bring us out of that need. Something that is amazing to me is that each time that his compassion is mentioned in Matthew's gospel, Jesus is engaged in another activity. Let me show you this. He's grieving John. So he purposely gets in a boat and goes to a remote place. How many would agree with me that he was wanting to be alone to grieve? Yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious there, isn't it? He wanted to be alone to grieve. In his humanity, get back up on top of the circumstance. Otherwise, he would have gathered everybody around him, but he wanted to be alone to grieve. And all the people found where he was at. And so he turns his attention from what he wanted to what they needed. And he was so intent preaching, ministering to them, healing all of their sick, 5,000 men, women, and children. Chances are there were a lot of sick. And Jesus was touching them and healing one after another, maybe moving around. You know, we get the picture of a prayer line, but I get the picture of Jesus moving around through all these people. After teaching them, he just would get out and start moving around and touching them, putting his hand upon them, speaking words of life and healing to them, deliverance to them. That's what he was engaged in. And after a while, because it would take a while, 10,000 people, that takes a long time to get through. His disciples come over and tug on his sleeve and said, Master, we should send these folks away. Let them get home so that they can eat. Let them go to the villages. And in that moment, then Jesus in his humanity catches up to their humanity because he's been dealing in a spiritual realm. I know this far well because sometimes when I'm preaching and sharing the word, I forget that you guys want to eat lunch. So all of a sudden that clock up on the wall tugs on my sleeve and goes, they want to go have lunch. Thank you, brother. You and I can stay. See, we need to understand this compassion. What is Jesus' reaction to them? He said, they say, send him away. He goes, you feed him. Take care of him. We're ministering to these folks. We're meeting their needs. We're touching them. How do I know that? Because I see him on another occasion when he's at a well with a little lady and he tells her all about her life and she runs off to town and about that time the disciples come back to him with the food. You see, again, he wanted to be alone. It wasn't the right time for people to come draw from a well, but this woman was a woman of ill repute and so she came to the well at times when nobody else was there, probably because they wouldn't let her draw water along with them. And Jesus speaks into her life. He ministered to her, even though he was wanting to be alone to rest. And after she left, the disciples come back to him with the food. And Jesus' statement to them gives it all away. He says, I have meat to eat that you know not of. And what did they think? Oh, somebody brought him food. What was his meat? My meat is to do the will of my Father who sent me, he said. And then he says, look up. Fellas, get your eyes off the fried chicken and mashed potatoes and look up. Look at the fields, for they are ripe unto harvest. And that's where the passage comes in. Pray, therefore, to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest field. Jesus is saying, oh, I wish that some would stand up and come with me in caring for these people, because here they come. Here they come. They need to be ministered to. See, Jesus cares. It's not that he didn't care about the people's hunger. He's like, oh, we can take care of that. No problem. What do you have? 5 loaves, 2 fish. But what is that among so many? Give it to me, he says. Just give me what you have. Unbelievable. Something we don't talk about enough in this miracle is it says that Jesus broke the bread. Jesus broke the fish. And 5,000 men plus women and children ate. Now, ladies, how long did it take you to do Thanksgiving dinner? Come on, holler it out, just fine. Might as well tell somebody. How long did it take you? How many? 2 days. And how many did you feed? 12 people. Who else cooked? Who else cooked? Come on, come on, come on. Don't make us wait. How many? 2 days for 19 people. Jesus sat on that hillside and he tore bread and he tore fish and fed probably somewhere close to 10,000 people. Read it. He broke the bread. He broke the fish, gave it to his disciples, and they gave it to the people. Oh, there's so much in there, but let me just point out something. See, he wasn't looking for the glory. The glory came to those disciples. They were the ones that got to take the bread and the fish out and distribute it to the people as though they had provided it for all those people. Oh, there might have been 1 or 2 people that were sitting right up next to the front with their mouth hanging open, their chin dragging the ground. But for the most part, 10,000 people, they were some way back in the back. They didn't see any of that. All they know was, here comes old Matthew carrying a big old basket full of bread and basket full of fish, you know, and sets it down here and says, here, eat what you want. I'll be back with more. And they keep coming back to Jesus, and he's sitting there breaking bread and breaking fish. Oh, I don't know whether Jesus cares about me. Come on. He cared about the people. He cared about his disciples. He let all the glory and all the thanks and all the praise come down onto those disciples. He did not have that, in that meal, he had no contact. Ladies, it would be like you cooking that dinner that you made, but not even being present. You're just off someplace else, and you cooked it, and you sent it off with other people to go in there, come walking in with your beautiful turkey that you made, and all those side dishes and pies and everything like that. Come walking in just like it was theirs, and putting it down before the people, and smiling real big, and everybody eats and goes, woo! There's one more word. Oh, wow. It's a huge word that is in here that tells about the care of Jesus. You know what it is? Satisfied. They fed those people until they were satisfied. This wasn't hors d'oeuvres. Hors d'oeuvres. He fed them a meal. They ate until they were satisfied. That's the kind of care that Jesus has. And again, his disciples that carried the bread and carried the fish out. Oh, You know what? I just wish I could have seen that happen. I mean, it would have taken hours. Come on, right? How many are still awake? Good. Nudge the person next to you and say, this is good. You should listen to this today. He's not hurting us at all. My goodness, folks. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I could just imagine those people as they went on home and said, you know what? I have never had bread or fish that tasted so good in all my life. I've caught a lot of fish in my day. You know I have. But none was better than that fish that I had on the mountainside when we went to see Jesus. As everything touches off another song, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. You may be sitting here today and you think, oh, nobody cares. Nobody cares about the struggle that I'm going through. Nobody cares about the pain that I'm in. Nobody cares about how much I'm hurting. I want you to know that Jesus cares about you. What are your needs this morning? What is your pain? I can't change your circumstance. What I can do for you is tell you about Jesus. I would love to tell you. What I think of Jesus. I have found in Him a friend so kind and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other power could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cares for me.